Our scripture today is from Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massa and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. After crossing the Red Sea, the Israelites traveled by stages on their way to the promised land. And that's the title of this message, Journeyed by Stages. I love the children's message. Probably did a great job with that. And that's probably one of the best ways to understand this passage, Journeyed by Stages. You're going on a long trip, and the first thing you need to do is to know your directions. And then you break down the trip into small segments or manageable stages. And then you take it one stage at a time. That's what we do when we go on long trips. Now, she told you about the trip that we took this past week to Manio. That was only a little over 3 hours. But for 5.5 years, I drove down to Atlanta, Georgia, working on my doctorate of ministry degree at Emory University. 5.5 years, I drove down to Atlanta, over 400 miles when I would go down there. And it would generally take me 7 hours. I'll never forget when I first made that trip. I got in my car after it was filled up with gas, hoping I could make it on one tank. And I thought to myself, "Oh, good, I got 7 hours to ride in a car." And oh, that was tough. I knew I wasn't going to be able to make that journey like that. So I began to test it out. And as I drove down to Atlanta again and again, I began to break it down into manageable units. Now, here's kind of how I broke it down. I'd say, "Hey, I'm starting out on my way to Atlanta, go back to school. Hey, I'm looking forward to getting to Gastonia, because generally when I get around Gastonia, I get out and I walk around the car and I'm at McDonald's and I get a cup of coffee, or if I'm hungry, a little something to eat. But I'll just look forward right now to getting to Gastonia." And so that's the first segment that I would take, the first stage that I would take. And it wasn't really that long. It certainly wasn't 7 hours. And so then the second stage, well, I got to thinking about this. You know, when you cross the South Carolina line and you enter into South Carolina, that's a, wow, you know, I'm leaving North Carolina and I'm down now in South Carolina. Any Gamecocks around here in the morning? Yeah, well, I think about all my Gamecock friends, you know. And but anyway, cross that South Carolina line. Generally, I would not stop there, but I would let that be a marker event for me. And that was my second stage. And then for my third stage, I would continue going through South Carolina until I came around Anderson, South Carolina. Any of you heard of Anderson, South Carolina? Yeah, I'd stop around there and take another break again at McDonald's. By the way, I know every McDonald's on I-85 between Cary and Atlanta. I know them, and they know me. But anyway, I'd usually stop around Anderson again at McDonald's. And then the fourth stage, I would continue on until I crossed the Georgia state line. Wow, what a feeling when you cross from South Carolina over into Georgia, the Peach State. And so that would be a marker event for me. And then I had my fifth stage coming up, and that would be to Jefferson, Georgia. Probably never heard of Jefferson, Jordan, but somewhere around there, I'd usually have my last little stop, you know. And then, guess what? Only had one more stage to go, the sixth stage that I would take from Jefferson, Jordan into Atlanta. And so I would break that long trip down in the stages, and they would be like marker events for me. They'd be opportunities for me to stop, to rest, to get some coffee, use the restroom, get something to eat. And, of course, all the way down there, I had things to do to kind of entertain myself. I'd listen to Bob Dylan tapes and sing along. You know how you're in your car? You can just sing as loud as you want to. And I was singing along with Bob Dylan. And then other times I listened to books on tape. And what a wonderful gift. You can listen to a whole book going to Atlanta, Georgia. And then sometimes I just wanted quiet. And I'd just think. And I'd pray. And I'd use that as an opportunity to say, Lord, you know, you have called me on this journey to go back to school. And I think about what I was doing down there. And use that as a little bit of quiet time. So that's how I would approach it. You know, I was thinking about this. When we get ready to face change, the best way to face it is to break it down into stages, into manageable units. You see, our church is getting ready to begin our long journey of building. And it will not happen all at once. It will take place in stages. And so when we go through change, it's not so much the change that kills us. It's the lack of transition. It's the lack of preparation. It's the lack of how to go through it and manage it. And so that's why our church is really having this series right now, Everything Changes, and preparing for the changes that we'll face when we come up to our building program. So, that makes sense, doesn't it? We're getting ready to have changes, and we're going to take them stage at a time. Stage at a time. Now, when the Israelites journeyed by stages, it's remarkable how much grumbling there was. There wasn't a time they weren't traveling. Somebody was complaining. Hey, it would have been better if we just stayed back in Egypt. You know, they got water back there. You know, one of their stages, the water was bitter. And they said, Moses, we can't drink the water. The water's bitter. And then another stage, and this one that I read here, they had no water. And they were saying, hey, we're going to die out here because we're so thirsty. Let's go back. Oh. And then they complained about eating. That's a popular complaint. And said, you know, why'd you bring us out here where we have no meat? We have nothing to eat. It'd be better if we could just go back. And, you know, it's almost like they're forming a back to Egypt committee. Let's just go back. But on all these stages, what we're celebrating is this. Not that the stages didn't contain problems and twists and turns and challenges, but that in each stage, on the journey, on the way, God provided, God was there, God met them and guided them through it all. And if you want to know God's mercy, then read that again. The people complained and complained and complained and complained and complained and complained, and God gave them water. It's a merciful God. But God was with them. And so I think about that. And God will be with us when we have twists and turns in our building program. There certainly will be. As we were at Manifest and we heard from Jim Harnish about their building program that took 9 years down in Tampa, Florida, they discovered all kinds of problems along the way, and they just had to stop. They had stops and starts and stops and starts. But he also shared with us stories about how God was present and how God manifested his provision in the midst of problems. I heard Otis speak one time. He said the three P's. God gives a promise, and then there's a problem. And then God has a provision. So remember that when you get stuck in the problem. God has one more thing, P. What's that? Provision. Okay. So God had a way of providing. He had a table full for them in the wilderness of all places. You know, they didn't have to go anywhere to find the meat. It fell out of the sky. The quail came by night. And then in the morning, that was the original daily bread, the manna that came up. So you see, God provided in the midst of the problems. And so that's what we need to remember. Our life is a journey. Think about it. Our life is a journey. All of us start off as babies. And we go through stages physically of growing up. Lots of times people break these stages down into little categories of, you know, childhood, youth, young adult, middle adult, and older, and so forth. So that's one way we can look at it. And then stages also has to do with things going on in our life, you know. And you can look at your life right now as a journey. Look back, and you can see how there are different stages along the way, different segments along the way. And here's the good news. Is that we don't go alone. The same Lord that was with the Israelites as they journeyed by stages, the same Lord is with us. And here's the way that I like to look at it. There'll be times in your stage of life, perhaps now when you're facing a change, when you just need rest. And the Lord, the Good Shepherd, will provide green pastures. There'll be times in your journey, on whatever stage you're on, and it could be right now, where you'll just be so thirsty, so thirsty. And the Lord will make a water fountain out of a rock. The Good Shepherd would lead you beside still waters. The Good Shepherd goes with us on our journey. When we go through the valleys with the dark shadows, we will not fear, for thou art with us. No matter what the twists or turns in our life are, when we go through change and stages, the good Lord is there. And when we turn around, we see that his goodness and his mercy has followed us all the way. He's anointed us many times over with his presence that brings joy. He has his rod and his staff to guide us and to lead us. He has a way of just simply being with us and letting us know that, why do you want to go back? Why do you want to go back to the past? There's only two reasons to go back to the past. That's because something happened back there that needs to be repaired or healed. Or there's something back there that is so inspiring that you need it now so you can go forward. But we are a forward moving people, not a backward moving people. And so God is always with us on the journey so we can do what? So we can journey on through the changes and so forth. And the Good Shepherd is with us, and we look ahead. So wherever you are at right now in your life, don't say, gosh, I just wish I could go back, or why am I even doing this? You know, when I began my program down in Emory, I didn't know how long it was going to take, but it took 5.5 years. I can honestly say I enjoyed the whole thing. sometimes you'll enjoy the whole thing. Okay? There'll be other times you'll say, why am I doing this? Why did I go back to school? Why did I decide I was going to make a change in careers? Why did this? Why that? Well, there'll be times when you'll be tempted to go back. But if the Lord is leading you forward, if the Lord's in it, you need to go forward, not backwards. And so wherever you're at, this is a word of encouragement that the Lord is with us on our journey. Our whole life is a journey. And I love John's Gospel, chapter 14, when Jesus is talking to them before he leaves them. Shortly before his death and crucifixion, and he knew he would be returning to the Father, and he was preparing them, and he said, wait a minute. I go to prepare a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. I prepare a room for you. I go ahead of you. Even when we come to the time of death, we need to remember the Lord is with us. He's gone ahead of us to prepare a place. We always journey forward. And when we come to this table, one of the things that I say is that make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. We are always looking forward. God has ever yet more good gifts to give you and me and more things for us to do. So for heaven's sake, let's don't go back to Egypt. I heard one fellow say, you know, he spent 3 years in fourth grade and decided that was enough. He went to fifth grade. So when we come to this table today, I don't know what your need is, but we're journeying by stages and we're fed. And we receive just what we need to face the change, to move ahead. Now let's prepare for this. Invitation to communion. Christ invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now I have an abbreviated Great Thanksgiving and liturgy for us as we come to the table, because I want to speak to you personally. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, Lord God Almighty, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples. And said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me, that I am always with you. When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, Father Almighty, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me, because I'm always with you. And so, O Lord, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we give you praise and thanksgiving and offer ourselves up as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ. Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Let us pray. Gracious God, pour out your Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and juice. And make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Father Almighty, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, let us pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I ask for our servers, those who are serving behind the scenes, to come forward first.